What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Go Talk. I just finished taking care of some business, and I'm starting this episode all over. I was 18 minutes in, and I'm starting over because I just didn't like how it was going. But it's okay. This is why we come back and we, you know, we redo it. Anyway, exciting divisional round matchups this weekend. I know I said I was going to drop an episode last night. My bad. I got caught up. It's all good. I'm here for it now. Trust and believe. That being said, we got some good games on deck, man. Where do I even start? I'm gonna start with the first game of the weekend, which is the Titans and the Bengals. Which the over under on this game, I mean the total on this game is 47.5. I think it's gonna be I think it's gonna be a lot more than that. I got the game ending somewhere like 31-28 range, you know, or 34-31. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, one that we really aren't expecting because, you know, Derrick Henry has been cleared to play. Excuse me. Derrick Henry has been cleared to play, which is the game. To me, that's the game's biggest X factor is how healthy is he? How much can he go? Like, Adam Schefter tweeted while I was out here recording the first time. He tweeted that Derrick Henry will have no limitations. He will play. That they practice with pads this week just to get him ready for those hits. But still, you know, nothing is like the actual game. So we'll see how that goes for Derrick Henry. There's a lot to unpack here. I'm just gonna do my best to get through it as quickly as I can. So bear with me. My stomach hurts a little bit. Yeah, so I mentioned Derrick Henry would be an X factor, I'm not gonna lie, usually when I get excited about the words I'm getting ready to say, I get them mixed up, but listen, the Titans defense, that's what I'm worried about here. If I was a Titans fan, I'd be worried about our secondary. I mean, Joe Burrow, the top pick in the 2020 draft. he set all kinds of Bengals franchise records. He finished second in the league with a passer rating of 108.3. Completed 70% of his passes. I mean, he's really taken the Bengals to another level. This core he has plenty of targets. Okay, Ja'Marr Chase set a franchise record with his receiving yards this season. T. Higgins almost had 1,000. Oh, no, he also had 1,000 yards. My bad, not almost. He also had 1,000 yards season. Tyler Boyd almost had 1,000 yards. Like, you got targets. Like, you got – and that's my thing for the Titans defense. Are they going to be able to keep up with these guys? Like, are they going to be able to keep up with this offense? To me, this game and the flow of this game is determined by who scores first and how they score. Because if the Titans get the ball and they, you know, run a little clock and – run the ball down the Bengals' throats, who are giving up 4.3 yards a carry, and that could very well be 5 yards a carry against Derrick Henry. If they give up an opening possession touchdown, or if the Bengals go out there and don't score on their first drive and they give up an opening possession touchdown to Derrick Henry, a rushing touchdown, a predominantly running play drive, then it'll be up to the Bengals to get their tempo going quickly and to get points on the board so they can put the pressure on Tennessee to keep scoring, because you know the Titans are, I mean, you know the Bengals are going to come. They're coming, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to score. So with that being said, I think there's a lot of pressure on Tennessee coming off a bye, getting Henry back, having Julio and AJ on the outside. Like, you guys were one of the favorites coming into the season. You lost Derrick Henry. You didn't have Julio for like half the season. Or majority, you lost AJ for a part of the season. You were still able to win games, and you have winning game. You won games against other teams in this playoff picture. The Niners, the Rams, the Chiefs. I think I'm missing a team. And the Bills. They've beaten all of these teams. And that was without their best player, Derrick Henry. Actually, they beat the Bills with Derrick Henry, because I remember that I had a fantasy matchup riding on the Bills holding Derrick Henry to like under 12 points, and that did not happen. But yeah, I definitely remember him playing against the Bills. Anyway, like I was saying, basically, the Titans, a lot of pressure on you guys. You've been doing really well this season without your best players, and now that you got them all back, it's a lot of pressure on you guys to step up and perform. As opposed to the Bengals, who honestly, like, we were not expecting this of the Bengals this year, but now the expectations are set. Honestly, I mean, the Bengals have had a really good season. I don't think they have anything to lose. They've got our respect. I think the Bengals could make the Super Bowl. Like after like the win last week, I'm a legitimate believer. Actually, it was the win before that. It was the win before the Raiders win. I was like, okay, I think I'm a believer now, because Joe Burrow looks like he's that guy. Him and Jamar, that connection that they have is almost, dare I say, Rodgers Devontae-esque. Like, it gives you that vibe. Not that I'm saying they're them, but it gives you that vibe. Like, Rodgers and Adams, Mahomes and Hill. Like, it just gives you that sweet connection that they have. You know, I don't know how to explain it, man. If you play football, you know what I'm talking about. If you watch football, you know what I'm talking about, man. You know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, like I was saying. And even though the Titans are the only team to have three players with at least eight sacks on the D-line, I just don't think that the Bengals are going to allow the Titans to apply that kind of pressure on Burrow, especially with a secondary that's as suspect as theirs. Both these teams rank bottom eight in passing yards given up. So, the Bengals aren't much better. But the Bengals' offense is equipped to take advantage of the fact that your team, something in my teeth. My bad. The Bengals team is equipped to take advantage of the fact that the Titans secondary is suspect. The Titans, like I said, I got the Bengals winning this one. I think the Bengals could go all the way, and I get it. The Titans, I believe, they're 8-0 under Coach Mike Vrabel, coming off a bye or extended rest. That's actually tied with the Steelers for the NFL's best mark since 2018. But I just don't see it, bro. I don't see it. Before I move on, because I've already spent 9 minutes talking about the Titans and the Bengals, but why I primarily don't see it is because, to me, the game, even though I said Henry's an X factor and the Titans defense need to be able to keep up with that offense of the Bengals, if you really sum it all up, it's going to be Ryan Tannehill versus Joe Burrow. And at the end of the game, who do you want? I know who I want. Give me Joe. Give me the guy with Jamar Chase who's making plays, give me the guy who's going to go out there and win me the game. I'm not saying Joe Burrow's a loser, but he hasn't done anything in the NFL really to prove himself. You know what I'm saying? I get all that. But Ryan Tannehill, you had plenty of time to show me. You have plenty of time, bro. You had time to show me. You had time to show the Dolphins. Even your numbers without Derrick Henry aren't that good. So, like, I got to go with Joe Burrow. And you asked me to choose between Tannehill and Joe, I got to go with Burrow. I got to go with Chase. I got to go with Higgins and Boyd. I love me some Julio Jones, but I like A.J. Brown. I really do like A.J. Brown a lot. But, you know, when you're a guy like Ryan Tannehill, you gotta be able to find your number one receiver. Hell, Ryan Fitzpatrick can find his number one receiver. He can find Terry McLaurin in Washington all day long. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can Matt Ryan, when he had Julio, he could find Julio. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta be able to find your number one guy. Luckily for Ryan Tannehill, he has two number one receivers. You can throw it to either one of these guys, man. Like, you better trust in these dudes and not pull a Jimmy G, bro. Fold in the moment under the pressure. Because I think Jimmy folds a lot. But I'll get to that. I think the game will come down to the last possession. I got Joe Burrow winning this game, either 31-28, 34-31. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be real close in the high 20s, 30s range. I don't see it being a low-scoring game. Not with these two terrible passing defenses on the field. so, yeah. Let's move on, excuse me, to the game that I'm most anxious about, oh my. Woo! Niners and Packers, baby. Woo! Bang, bang, Niner gang. Hold on, let me get this out real quick. Bang, bang, Niner gang. All right? If it's Niner gang, you better bang it. If it ain't Niner gang, don't bang it. Niner ganger, don't bang. Anyway. Woo! I'm excited because we could win. If we win, bro, if I'm speaking from a fan's perspective, if we win, I think we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't think the Rams can stop us. I don't think the Buccaneers can stop us. I think the Packers are the only team with the best chance in the NFC to stop the Niners right now because of Aaron Rodgers. That's it, bro. I don't see any who can stop Debo. His hamstring. That's it. His groin. Maybe an ankle. That's it. Knock wood. We knocking on wood. Because can't nobody stop Debo. The Cowboys tried it. Micah Parsons, he's supposed to eliminate weapons, right? Remember that tweet? He's supposed to be able to eliminate weapons. Yeah, all right. Okay. I'm done trolling the Cowboys. Woo! All right. Let's get into the game. Ooh, all right, my bad. The audio got messed up. Anyway, like I was saying, I'm looking at some injury updates here. Packers tackle David Bakhtiari is questionable. Jair Alexander also questionable. I don't think David plays. I don't think Bakhtiari. I think Jair might play. I don't think Bakhtiari plays. And if he does, I don't think he's going to be that effective. It's just the thing with the offensive linemen. When you have your lower extremities, you know, injured knees, ankles, that and the other, it's hard for you to, you know, really be effective against these elite pass rushers, like against Bosa. Like, you know, Bosa's going to take advantage of the fact that you're hurt. You know, you're playing hurt. Ibukam and Arden Key, Armstead, you know what I'm saying? It's just with the injury he sustained and the fact that he's questionable even now, I don't think he's going to play. MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he's not playing. He's doubtful. But they got Randall Cobb back. Whatever that does for him, honestly, I'm not scared of Randall Cobb. And if I was the Niners, I wouldn't be either. It's Devontae Adams. It's all about Devontae Adams. But we'll get to that. Nick Bosa, a clear concussion protocol, but has yet to be cleared to play. So, gonna have to see how that goes. Hopefully, he can play. If there's no Bosa, we don't win. If we are not at full strength, we do not win this game. No way. I don't see it. Because it's just too much riding on the Packers to win. Two of the biggest concerns in this game for Niners fans should be Devontae Adams and the weather. And the forecast, it doesn't look like it's gonna snow. There's no snow expected, but you never know with, you know, temperatures between 19 and 7 degrees. And like I said, like if I thought if it was going to snow, then I don't think the Niners would win because Jimmy, he has soreness in his right shoulder and he's got the thing in his thumb that's going on. So he's not at 100%. He won't be playing at 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Lance got a shot in this game. I wouldn't, bro. Don't be surprised if Trey Lance get a shot in this game. Heard it here first. The Niners, outside of Nick Bosa, Ambry Thomas is questionable. Hopefully he can come back and play. We need all the help in the secondary we can get. I'm saying we, huh? Oh, man. I'm not supposed to be saying we, but hey, y'all know where my true loyalties lie. I'm being real. I don't see anybody on the Packers defense that could really put, like, the Packers are going to have to come together collectively as a unit to stop Debo Samuel. And they're going to have to find wherever he's at and put bodies on him because, and then that's the hard part. Like, once you start to commit to Debo, then it's like, and here's why I think the Niners and the Packers differentiate. Because once you start to commit to Debo, it's like, okay, Ayuk is going to get the ball, or Juwan Jennings might get the ball, or even Kittle, who hasn't really giving us that real, like, Kittle performance over the last few weeks. I feel like he's due. It's coming, you know? Like, you got to watch out. Like, he likes playing in Green Bay. Like, don't be surprised if Kittle catches two tutties in this game. Like, I think I said that last week, so let me bite my tongue on that. But the Packers have to be careful. You know, the Devondre Campbell, I'm reading a quote here, and he's talking about the eye candy of the Niners, the pre-snap motion and the shifting. And that is important, you know, because sometimes they even get me with that, and I'm just a fan, and I'll be watching at home. I'll be like, oh, that's where the ball going? So I could just only imagine how it is on the field. You know, I'm picking a lot of underdogs this week. I'm going to pick the Niners to win because I just don't see how they can stop the entire Niners offense. To stop Aaron Rodgers in that Packers offense, you put two guys on Devontae. I mean, hey, that might not work, but if you put two guys on Devontae, David Bakhtiari's not playing, so we can get pressure before we. I gotta stop saying we. The Niners can get pressure with four guys. It's just hard for me to see the Packers being able to overcome that. But it is Aaron Rodgers, so I see why. That is the only reason why I can understand why the Packers are favored in this game. But outside of that, I really don't see. Excuse me, I don't see why the Packers are favored. The Niners defense is better. They get to the quarterback better than the Packers defense. They run the ball better than the Packers. The only thing that they don't do better than the Packers is pass the ball. And when you can put a hat on Devontae if you just overcommit the resources. That's what I say. Overcommit the resources to wherever he's lining up, outside the numbers, inside the numbers, in the slot. Like, overcommit the resources. Let everybody else go wide. It don't matter. Tannehill, Lazard, Randall Cobb. Let them dudes do they do, man. They not Devontae. Overcommit the resources, bro. I'm telling you, you don't. The last time Devontae played the Niners, he caught 12 balls for like 128 yards and a tutty. Okay, you got to stay on this dude. Excuse me, my bad. 12 passes for 132 yards and a tutty, and it was the game winning tutty, bro. Like, excuse me, I listen. This game is the biggest question mark of the weekend for me, because you don't really see the Packers losing, but I could see them losing, like, if the Niners don't get in their own way. You get what I'm saying? Like, if Jimmy does not throw any ill-advised interceptions like he did last week in Dallas, if you can just limit Devontae, okay, you don't got to put a hat on him, limit him. Limit him so that everybody else on that Packers offense gets the ball, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan a little bit. You make Aaron Rodgers find somebody else. Make him, don't let him and Devontae heat up, especially if David Bakhtiari is not playing, okay? And all of this is contingent on Nick Bosa playing today, which I believe he's going to play. He cleared concussion protocol. I don't see a reason for him not to play. So I think Bosa's going to play. We're going to have Warner. I got to stop saying we. I'll do better, guys. I'm sorry. I just don't see it, man. But if the Packers win this game, it'll be because somebody else stepped up. I don't think that the Niners are going to let Devontae have his way today. I just don't think that's going to happen. Let me move on because I could keep going and going. I could talk about Deebo Samuel and how he had over 1,800 scrimmage yards this year. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just keep going and keep going, and I got to stop that. A game that really is intriguing to me, and it's another toss-up game, Rams and Buccaneers. I have no idea why the Buccaneers are favored in this game. Like, for real. I get it. It's Tom Brady. But I don't get it to the point where you think that the Rams are elite? Like, to me, this should be an even scratch. Like, at least. I don't think the Buccaneers, who are hurt, excuse me, who are hurt all over the team, should be favorited at all. Tristan Wirfs probably isn't playing today. His backup probably isn't playing. Well, he probably is playing, but he's not as good. Nowhere near close. Now I can kind of sort of see why the Buccaneers are 3-point favorites. But still, it kind of baffles me. The total in this game is 48. That's 24 points apiece. I think the Rams are going to really beat up on the Buccaneers. I don't think this game is going to be as close as I don't. First things first, the Buccaneers are not winning this game. I not to me, not in my opinion. Not with no Chris Godwin, no AB, no Leonard Fournette, no Tristan Wirfs. No, are you serious? You think I get it? Tom Brady's the quote unquote GOAT, but he's not Patrick Mahomes, bro. Like I'm sorry, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not one of these dudes who can extend plays and make a big play with his arm while extending the play. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Tom Brady's at the point in his career where he needs everything around him to be perfect for things to go right for him. Like nobody, and I think out of respect for Tom Brady, nobody says that. But I'm gonna say it. Because I'm just a dude. But it's true. Like Tristan Wirfs being out, it was a problem for the Buccaneers last week. The Eagles just couldn't capitalize. Like there were throws to be made. Jalen Hurts didn't make them. But you think Stafford's not going to make some of those throws? Man, I'm sorry, bro. The Rams are going to win this game. I get it. Andrew Whitworth probably not playing. I don't think he's playing. But that's one lineman. And okay, well, I just mentioned one lineman on the other side that pretty much changes their entire offensive line. So let me not say that. But the overall health of the Rams, coupled with how well they've played over the last, how well they played last week, because that week 17 game against the Niners was not pretty for them. Week 18, I'm sorry, whatever week that was, I'm confused. It gets confusing now. I don't see it, bro. I don't see it. With no Tristan Wirfs, how you gonna stop Donald, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller? Like one of them dudes is getting to Brady. He's not gonna have time to find Mike Evans because I love Mike Evans. Every time he's matched up against an elite corner, an upper echelon corner, he kind of disappears. Like I don't like to say that about my guy, but it's just and to me, it's not about really him disappearing. I just think they're going to take Mike Evans out of the game. Like, I don't, because all Tom Brady has is Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. Rob is probably going to get his. That's fine. You can take Mike Evans out of the game. You can put Jalen Ramsey, and if you need to, put a safety over the top. If you need to. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and both the Rams starting safeties were hurt last week. I think one of them isn't playing this week. Excuse me. Taylor Rapp, he's out again. I don't think you need a lot to really stop the Buccaneers. I don't think Ronald Jones is playing. I don't think he's playing. The Buccaneers aren't going to be able to run the ball. I think they're going to come out and just be passing it, bro, because they know they're not going to be able to run the ball on this. This is a pretty good Rams front. I'm sorry. What's blowing my mind is that the Buccaneers are still favorited to win this game. It's like we don't watch football. Like we don't. I know that I'm a big Matthew Stafford. Well, you know, like he's not elite. I'll be saying he's not elite. Like and he's not. Matthew Stafford is not elite. That is a strong word to use. But he's good. He's pretty good. Like Matthew Stafford is pretty good. Better than Jalen Hurts is right now, and Cooper Kupp, hello, Triple Crown, Odell, taking the place of Robert Woods, who's emerged as a good number two, finally. Like Like, the connection between him and Stafford actually looks decent now. Thank you. Tyler Higbee, Cam Akers, who looked really good last week. Sony Michel, the Rams are too loaded for the Buccaneers this time around. The Buccaneers will not have success. The Rams are looking to build off of 76 yards rushing they had against the Rams last time. That was with no Cam Akers. They got Cam Akers back now. I think they're gonna make an emphasis on running the ball, because it's gonna be important for them to run the ball down the stretch, especially if they make it to the NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, this, that, and the other. They're gonna make an emphasis to run the ball with Cam Akers, get him really going against this Buccaneers team that they really want to beat, and get another home playoff game back in LA if the Niners were to win today. So, you know, I just don't see it, bro. I don't see how the Buccaneers win this game unless they get some calls. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Tom Brady is actually 2-0 in his postseason rematches against opponents who defeat Tampa Bay during the regular season. But it's just the odds are kind of stacked against him here. It's not like he's playing Taysom Hill at quarterback. He's playing Matthew Stafford, bro. And the Rams are actually the only team that beat Tom Brady. The only teams who have beaten Tom Brady and that he hasn't beaten since he's been a Buccaneer. They're the only team that has beaten this team and he hasn't come back and beaten them. So I don't really know, man. I don't know why the Buccaneers are favorited. I would take the Rams. I say 28 to 17, you know, maybe 31-17, which would make the over. If it was 31-17, that'd be the total, 48 points, which is the total for the game. So I will still bet. I'm still betting the over for sure. Yeah, let me move on to the last game, man, before I go on a tangent about this game. Man, I was recording and somebody just called me in the middle of the audio. Somebody I haven't talked to in a long time either. That's crazy. Crazy how life works. But let me finish it up, man. Besides, because you know I'm a Niners fan, so the Niners Packers game is the most exciting matchup of the weekend to me. But if I wasn't a Niners fan, this Bills Chiefs, woo! This Bills Chiefs, this matchup gonna be crazy. This matchup gonna go dumb. And check this out. Real spill. Because earlier this year, when the Chargers lost to the Raiders in that final week of the season, I cut them off. I was done with the Chargers. I'm done. I am done supporting the Chargers. I've been supporting the Chargers for like 5 years, bro. For like 5 or 6 years, I've always been like, hey, the Chargers pretty good. The Chargers pretty good, y'all. Hey, y'all got to watch out for the Chargers. You got the Chargers, Derwin James, Joey Bosa. Then they got Justin Herbert, and I was really on the bandwagon. No, I'm done, bro. The Chargers cannot find a way to get out of their own way. Like, they cannot find a way to figure it out. When they have Super Bowl caliber teams, they just can't even figure out how to even make the postseason. I mean, I'm just done. I'm done, bro. It's just frustrating. If I was a Chargers fan, I wouldn't be surprised if they would be, you know, if they switched to LA Rams. At least the Rams in the postseason. I mean, geez. I think the Chargers lost some fans that week. Real talk. I think the Chargers, real talk, lost some fans. It's so much easier to root for the other team because they in the playoffs. But anyway, my whole point about that was, if the Bills lose this game, if they get embarrassed, I'm done. I'm done with the Bills. I'm not coming back to this team for a few years, because you can't go out and embarrass the Patriots like y'all embarrassed them. Especially after they embarrassed y'all. Y'all go out there, y'all put y'all foot on their neck. And then y'all come out and stink it up against the Chiefs in Arrowhead? No, I don't think so. That better not be the case. Okay, Josh Allen. You know I like the names. Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, who's been resurgent. Okay, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, who actually had a really good game against these same Chiefs. Against these same Chiefs earlier this year. Like, bro, do not go in here and stink it up, okay? We know I can't really put my finger on how I think the Bills will win this game. Let me go look at the total real quick. I didn't even peep the total. Hold on. The total. Woo-wee! Total 54 points. That is 27 points apiece. Wait, is that? Yeah, 27 points apiece. Woo, that's a game, bro. I got it going over that. I do. Why not? Like if I was the Bills and the Chiefs in this highly anticipated matchup, I'm pulling out all the stops. Why not? Like, this game is gonna be so worth it. Because it's like vindication for the Bills if they win, and validation for the Chiefs if, you know, of their dominance if they could just continue to beat up on the Ravens, the Bills, these other teams that are supposed to challenge the Chiefs, you know, and challenge them for supremacy in the AFC. But I'm sorry, I just got off on a tangent because, you know, this game, and it's crazy because this game is expected to be high scoring, but if it isn't, I'm going to be a little disappointed because, I mean, look at all the star power on both sides. You know, you already know about Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey and Clyde, and, I mean, to a way, way lesser degree, Mecole Hardman. And then I didn't even talk about the defensive side of the ball for both sides. Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones on that side, Bolton, the rookie linebacker. And then you got, on the Chiefs side, you got all-pro safety Poyer with his running mate Micah Hyde, who actually both those safeties led the league in pretty much any meaningful statistical category, so probably the best tandem in the league. Even, I mean, I don't like using the word best tandem in the league like that, you know, but I mean, when you lead the league in most of the categories or anything that's meaningful, then you gotta call you the best. You gotta call you the best. I mean, we can't forget about Tremaine Edmonds in the middle. Can't forget about Ed Oliver on the line. Too bad Tre'Davious White is not playing. Oh my God, this game would have been this is still the best matchup of the weekend to me. The Bills earlier this year, they were 4-1. When they were 4-1 after they beat Kansas City, and Dawson Knox, you know, he had 117 yards receiving, no teddies, but he still had a good game. But then they lost they lost five of their next eight games after that. And that was when Dawson Knox broke his hand during the 34-31 loss at Tennessee. So Dawson Knox, I'm looking at you, bro. I'm looking at you to step up in this game. Because last week you had a good game, too. But the whole team had a good game. So I'm just going to chalk it up to you being a part of that. I'm looking at you, bro. I know Stephon going to get his. Dawson, Josh needs you. Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis, respectable receivers. They aren't. I think that Dawson Knox is the second most important receiver on this team. They need another element of their offense to not just keep up with the Chiefs, but keep them on their toes defensively. It is easy to just say we're going to key in on Stephon Diggs. You know what I'm saying? It's easier said than done, but it's easy to just say, okay, we're going to key in on Stephon Diggs. Because to me, I don't think it's that hard to stop the rushing attack of the Buffalo Bills. But it's when Josh Allen can open up the offense and throw it to his tight end, a reliable guy who can high point the ball, good possession tight end, and Devin Singletary, who's come along over the last few weeks, thank goodness, because even though it didn't really matter for fantasy purposes, because why couldn't you do this earlier this year? But you know, it's just it alleviates a lot of pressure on Allen and Diggs when Dawson Knox steps up, when Devin Singletary step up, and then you can when you've got the defenders, the defenders' attention on Knox and Diggs, you can feel me throw it into Cole Beasley in the slot. You know, so he's still a really good slot receiver, which he's proven that this year. That and that's why the Bills can go out and win the Super Bowl, because they actually have good players at all the key positions. Singletary is a really good running back. Josh Allen, we know about. Come on now, dual threat, white, dual threat quarterback. I gotta edit that out. Dual threat quarterback. Stephon Diggs is arguably a top three receiver in the NFL. Probably not argue. Probably is top three. I was gonna say something about Dawson Knox, but now that I'm thinking about it, Stephon Diggs is probably number two behind Devontae. Cause I ain't heard from D-Hop all year. You know, I get he was hurt, but you know what I'm saying? You know, out of sight, out of mind. You know what I'm saying? You know how that is. So, I know I'm talking about the Bills a lot. I really just don't. I don't know, man. This is the game where I'm just like, I don't know. The only reason why I have the Bills winning this game is because in the upset too, because the Chiefs are 2-point favorites. I got them winning this game just off faith. I believe in the Bills. Like, you know what I'm saying? I know at these other games, I gave you stats, I gave you numbers, I gave you this. I know I believe in the Buffalo Bills this year to beat the Chiefs. Now, coming full circle on everything I just predicted, I got the Bills versus the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, which that'll be a super hard game for me to pick because I like both those teams. And then I got the Niners and the Rams in the NFC Championship game back in SoFi. Whoo, that's lit. But, and honestly, that NFC Championship game is really I'm not going to lie. Some of that is wishful thinking on my part because, boy, it's not even just that. I would love for the Niners to come back out here to SoFi so I could be at the game. Like, well, that'd be lit. But, yeah, I have faith in the Buffalo Bills defense and the fact that they can get pressure on Mahomes. I get it. The Chiefs offensive line is much better this year, but the Bills defense is still ranked number one. They did lead the league in sacks, if I'm not mistaken. And here's what worries me about the Chiefs, now that I really think about it. Outside of Kelce and Hill, who are you going to throw the ball to? This is the same thing. You know, it happened last week in that win against the Steelers. Predominantly, most of that work was done by Kelce and Hill in that 42-21 win. So it's just like, you know, like the Chiefs, not the Chiefs, the Bills, they know what's coming. You know what I'm saying? And you only got two guys. And I get it. These two guys... They're doing. They can do anything for you. I mean, they're practically unstoppable. They're virtually unstoppable. I mean, we haven't seen anybody really put a hat on these guys in the second half of the season. So, but that doesn't. That doesn't make my faith waver, in at all. Because to me, the Bills defense, you're number one. I think you can figure out a way to limit Tyreek, and I think you can eliminate Travis Kelce. I think you can find a way to do that and make Mahomes throw the ball to Byron Pringle, Nico Harmon, maybe Clyde out of the backfield. You got to make him find somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Josh Allen. Only thing about the Chiefs defense against the Bills offense is that I don't trust that they're going to be able to stop Stephon Diggs. And even if they do somehow find a way to get on Stephon Diggs, that's when I think Dawson Knox opens up. So, that's why I got the Bills winning this game. I think that their variety of weapons and how Allen will exploit those weapons, you know, or exploit the defense using those weapons and his legs, I think it'll be a little too much for the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs didn't have to worry about that last week. They played Ben Roethlisberger. And the Chiefs didn't look that good in the first half. They did look good defensively. I'm not going to... But they didn't look good offensively. This is a totally different animal now. This is Josh Allen and the Bills. Stephon Diggs, like you got a quarterback that's going to keep you on your toes. And I think they're going to be too much for the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are favored because I think it's just out of respect. I think the Bills are a better team overall. And I think that'll show this weekend. Josh Allen set a playoff record last week, throwing 5 touchdowns against the Patriots. Just throwing that out there, you know, might as well throw that out there. I think this team was the only team in NFL history. Was that history? I don't know if it said NFL history. I just know that they didn't punt or kick any field goals last week or didn't have any turnovers. Yeah. First NFL team to finish a playoff game with no punts, field goals, or turnovers. Yep. That's pretty good. Gosh, I will just continue to talk if I don't get out of here. But I'm trying to see if I have any more concerns about the Chiefs before I get out of here. That's gonna make for an exciting game. The fact that both of these teams are pretty much mostly healthy. I just wish Tre'Davious White was playing. Oh man, but it's all good. So that's what I got for this divisional round. I hope you guys enjoyed what I had to say. That being said, go Niners! Like, go Niners, baby! I cannot. I hope we win, bro. I hope we win, bro. Like, you don't understand. Like, maybe you do understand. I really hope we win this game. Because if we win, I hope we win, and I hope the Rams win. I really want us to come back out here to SoFi. And if we lose that game, I'm not going to be that mad. Like, if I'm being honest, the kind of person I am, I want you to see Aaron Donald get a ring because I think he deserves it. A player of that caliber, that elite kind of a talent, you know, in the discipline and the work that he's put in over his career to be the best. I just think that somebody like that deserves to have a Super Bowl championship, you know what I'm saying? To be on a Super Bowl caliber team, he was in the big game, and it wasn't his fault that they lost. I'm not, you know, putting it on him. I'm just saying, you know, and I get not everyone can win, but man, I think Aaron Donald deserves a ring. Von Miller got his ring. He won another one. Hey, Jalen Ramsey, he'd go wild. He'd go stupid if he had a ring. In fact, now that I think about it, Jalen Ramsey came close to being in the Super Bowl when he was with that Jaguars team. Remember that year that we almost had Gardner Minshew versus, like, Case Keenum of the Vikings? And that was the year that Nick Foles had went to the Super Bowl, remember? And then we had Nick Foles versus Tom Brady instead of, you know. But we could have had Case Keenum versus Gardner Minshew in the Super Bowl. Somebody said the NFL rigged because we can't have that. Or, like, it could have been, like, Nick Foles versus Gardner Minshew. That's when the Jaguars team was really good. Especially defensively. Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey. But yeah, I think he'd start acting a fool if he got a ring, Jalen Ramsey. And whoa, if Matthew Stafford got a ring, oh my goodness. I would not hear the end of it from all the Matthew Stafford apologists. Like, I don't think he's elite. He's not elite, man. Like, elite quarterbacks don't need as much supplement as he needs to be successful. And we've seen that. Like, you know, we've seen elite quarterbacks do more with less. Like, I just don't know. He's got everything he needs. He got everything a quarterback can want. Receivers, tight ends, running backs, a coach, a defense. What, a defensive lineman, all pro defensive, a Hall of Fame defensive lineman, two Hall of Fame, actually, a Hall of Fame defensive lineman, a Hall of Fame linebacker now, and you know, quite possibly a Hall of Fame corner if he go gets his ring. Like, and Cooper Kupp probably going to the Hall of Fame too eventually. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm being realistic about it, I mean, shoot, and if Odell get his act right, but if he can stay on the field, he could probably go to the Hall of Fame. My God, I don't know. Yeah, Hall of Fame is very risque. Not risque, but it's very very easy to get into. So I guess I kind of watered that down. But anyway, Let me go ahead and get up out of here, y'all. I'm talking for a long time. Enjoy my episode. See y'all next week. Peace.